You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Blasted.
With guest host, Andrew Siciliano.
You know, one last thing on Josh Dobbs.
Dobbs back to pass on third down. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He is basically making his career as the, well, man, we're out of options. We need you, quarterback.
Earlier on the show, co-host of FanDuel TV's Run It Back, Michelle Beadle. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing well. That was a rhetorical. What's going on, everybody? Breaking news out of Nashville. Will Levis, no shocker, is your starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. This, according to one Mike Vrabel on the podium as we speak. The Titans, when last we saw Will Levis, were losing to the Steelers on TNF to open up week 9. This week, they're on the road in Tampa against the fighting Baker Mayfields. Will Levis, your new starting quarterback for the foreseeable future for the Tennessee Titans.
So did he say, did Vrabel say it was for the season, or is it just this week?
He is still talking. We are still trying to parse those sentences. Hello, Chris Brockman.
Hello,
Jason. Hello, TJ.
Hello. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, happy Tuesday to you and yours. I say a positive Tuesday.
Will Levis can play, man.
Will Levis can play. I say a positive Tuesday. We're trying to keep it positive.
Positive.
Because this is Rich's show and Rich's chair, and Rich was with us from Germany about an hour ago, and he had trouble staying positive, understandably, as a Jets fan, watching what happened last night. A Charger victory 27-6. A Charger victory in which Justin Herbert threw for only 136 yards. They had less than 200 yards of total offense. They went on the road and won with those numbers because Zach Wilson of the Jets offense was giving Troy Aikman headaches. That's a nice way to say it. Like, it was as close to I've heard Troy basically jumping through the TV saying, I don't want to be here anymore. Anyway, I digress. We mentioned earlier that MGM Plus is debuting, along with NFL Films, a new episode of NFL Icons this Saturday. It is an honor. Always is. To have the Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, a Michigan man on the program, the subject of the latest NFL Icons. Charles Woodson, it's great to see you, man.
Man, great to see you too, man. How you doing?
We're doing well. And I love what you said as you opened up this piece. Rich, by the way, narrates it, which makes it even better. Fellow Michigan man. Charles, you say,
that's right.
I've done a lot of things that nobody's done at the beginning of the piece, right? From win a Heisman to win a Super Bowl to get a gold jacket. Now you're a winemaker. Fantastic wine, by the way. Bourbon, I'm told, as well now.
Yep.
Is there anything you haven't done yet that you want to do?
Yeah, but I don't play anymore, man. I would have liked to have won another Super Bowl. That would have been nice. But I guess I had to settle for the one.
There isn't like, I want to be an astronaut. Like, I want to climb Everest. There isn't anything like that.
No, I've seen what happened to people that climb Mount Everest, and I don't want any parts of that. You know what I do want to do? And, you know, a couple of years ago, my wife bought me a guitar. And I started kind of, you know, playing around with it, but I haven't really, you know, dug into it. I got to learn how to play the guitar, man. I got to do that at some point.
So I tried that years ago. I moved to L.A. in 2000, Charles. I didn't know anyone. I had a little apartment in the valley. I had a job that made me get up at 3 a.m. every day and literally had nothing to do. So I went and bought a guitar. But that was like before the whole YouTube lessons thing. And I didn't want to go do a lesson.
Yeah.
And I tried to teach myself, and it was awful.
Yeah, it's hard to do it on your own, man. You definitely need a teacher.
Do you have a golf club on right now? Are we interrupting a golf game?
No, I'm in the car, man. I actually got to my son's school early because I wanted to be stationary, you know, for when he gets out of school, and just to make sure I'm right here where I'm at right now, so I can be ready for the show.
Beautiful. I thought I saw a golf club
there. Car pickup, man.
Yeah, no. Hey, no, you're a good dad. I want to go back to the NFL Icons piece, which everyone should check it out, coming up on Saturday. Charles, this is like the best interview setup I have seen. Charles, where were you sitting for this sit down?
I was at the Dr. Phillips. I was downtown Orlando.
That is wild.
Dr. Phillips. Yeah, Dr. Phillips Art Center downtown. So, yeah, it was a beautiful setup, man. And great time sitting down and doing that interview, man. Very, very proud to be a part of Icons.
Because I saw it. I'm like, dude, is that your house?
Yeah. I wish.
Is that the winery? Like, that's bonkers.
No. Yeah, that was, like I said, downtown Orlando. They were gracious enough to host us and let us use that facility. And, yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Talking to the great Charles Woodson. Charles, what do you think of what Travis Hunter is doing in Colorado?
Yeah, it's amazing, man. You know, I get asked all the time, you know, how is he going to, you know, hold up, or can he continue to do it? And my answer is always that, you know, if you're just going to, you know, guard people and have to, you know, turn and, you know, run with the receivers, or if you're playing receivers and you're just running routes, like, he can do that all day. That's just about endurance. And so that's no problem. But when you're playing 120 plus snaps, you know, at some point it's just a game, you know, that'll get to you, because you're going to have, you know, you're going to play better opponents. You're going to have guys who are better at tackling and getting to you. You're going to have better opponents at being able to, you know, run better routes. You're going to have to tackle bigger running backs. And so the game at some point takes its toll when you're playing that many snaps. But to watch him, the way he moves out there as a receiver, you know, he understands, you know, how to get open, how to sit down in zones. And then defensively, just making plays, you know, all over the field. He shows his athleticism every time he's out there. So I am, you know, amazed that he's doing it every game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I was doing, you know, another show a couple of weeks ago, and people talking about me being a two-way player. I'm like, no, he's a two-way player. I just dibbled and dabbled a little bit on offense, but he's actually an offense and defensive player. So definitely impressed with what he's done so far.
And Charles, do you think we will ever see the day where someone tries to do that, or rather an organization, a coaching staff, has the faith to try to do that with whether it's Travis or somebody else at the NFL level?
Now, you know, I won't say never. You know, I'm sure someone will say, hey, you know, we got a great athlete. Let's let him play both sides of the ball. But like I said, man, the NFL, it's one thing to do it in college, but the NFL is just a totally different level. And if you're going to try to play each snap on both sides of the ball, you know, like be a starter on both sides, I don't think that's happening. It's just going to wear you down. You know, I think your career would be very short. You know, maybe you could do it for a year, maybe two. But your career won't last very long.
All right, let's get to the Raiders here. Saw you during the preseason broadcast. You intercept wines and the bourbon brand of the preseason games, and that was fun. And then the season started, and then everything kind of went downhill. Charles, have you ever seen a team smoke victory cigars and celebrate after a Week 9 game?
I've never done that. That is about as old school as you can get. You know, I would imagine that the old Raiders back in the 70s and 80s probably did that. But no, I have never witnessed that, have never seen that. But look, nonetheless, I was excited for the Raiders. Now, you could see the energy, you know, that those guys had after that victory. You can see the energy before the game, you know, the way they were reacting to Antonio Pierce, their new, you know, their interim head coach. I was just excited to see them guys playing good football and having fun, because it didn't seem like they were having fun the first half of this season.
How bad was it?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, you could just watch the body language of those guys. I mean, you know, you had Davante Adams in press conferences, you know, voicing his frustration after wins. You know, you watch Hunter Winfrow, a guy who 2 years ago had over 100 catches, and he's nowhere to be found. Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing last year, and he couldn't get going. You know, this thing was falling apart. It was melting. And Mark Davis decided he had to make a decision. And, you know, at least for one game, it was the right decision. But I think it was something, you know, that he had to do. I think when people or guys in that locker room, when they lose faith in the coach, when they stop buying what you're selling, it's over. And Mark Davis read the room. And he made a decision to move on, and I think it was the right decision for this team.
In your NFL Icons piece, obviously Tom Brady makes an appearance. We all saw the NFL Films thing a couple of years ago where you talk about the Tuck Rule game and all that nonsense. Did Mark consult you or Tom before making the move?
No, you know, didn't consult me. You know, I talked to Mark quite a bit, but we didn't talk before this move was made. I'm not sure about Tom. I know Tom is eyeing, you know, partnership. So maybe that was a conversation, you know, that he had with Tom. But, you know, I don't know that half of it. But, no, I didn't talk to him before this move was made.
All right. I got to ask you about Michigan. I'm sorry. I know how Rich feels. I know how Desmond Howard feels. I think I know how you feel because I know how the Michigan community feels. You guys are kind of backed into the corner right now. What's your take on Harbaugh and some dude named Connor Stallions and taping and tickets and all that?
Well, the way that, you know, I've answered this question is that, you know, I couldn't believe or wouldn't believe that Jim would go through those lengths, you know, to you know, try to steal other people's signs. I just think that was an elaborate operation that I just don't believe that he would have done. I would never say that they weren't trying to take signs. I don't know. I think every team, you know, has, you know, someone around their organization that is tasked with trying to, hey, if you can marry up a sign with the call on the field, you do it. I just don't believe they went through those great lengths. And now, you know, we have today, you have, you know, some anonymous source coming out talking about all of the other Big Ten schools that were doing it. So, look, man, there's a lot of people pointing fingers, but on some level, everyone is trying to find the other team's signs, especially if you're on the sideline holding up cards or if you're, you know, every time you line up for a play, the quarterback has to turn and look at the sideline and get the call. So, look, everybody's trying to do it. We seem to be the one who everyone is attacking right now. But like you said, we're backed into a corner. We'll come out fighting. And, I'm sure they'll try to levy some type of punishment, but I think we'll be fine.
How do you punish, though, without making the kids the victims? Isn't that always the problem with college football? It's like, oh, we're going to hammer the program. Great. Well, it's the kids who suffer. Oh, no. Charles froze. All right. Try to get Charles back here. And that's the issue with any college punishment, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're going to pull scholarships. Great. Well, you're taking academic opportunities. You're taking scholarships away from guys that may have had, in all likelihood, had nothing to do with any of this. Mm-hmm. It hurts the program, obviously. Like, SC lost all those scholarships for the Pete Carroll stuff or the Reggie Bush stuff, whatever you want to call it, that NCAA investigation, which if you go back and read it, like, go back and read the 75 pages of the SC investigation from, what was it, 15 years ago? You just laugh out loud at it now. It's the most minor of NIL deals.
Right. All that stuff.
Literally.
Seems silly.
It's
now,
like mom and Reggie's parents got flown to a game on Southwest.
Ooh. Well, what about Terrell Pryor and the Ohio State guys and all the tattoos and stuff? Like that?
Sure.
That seems ridiculous.
Like
now.
The SC thing, there are three student athletes mentioned, not named. Student athlete 1, 2, and 3. One of them's clearly OJ Mayo. And I mean,
right.
Yeah, there was probably a bag of cash there.
Yeah.
All right. Athlete number two is a tennis player, a woman's tennis player from somewhere in Eastern Europe. She was calling her parents back home in Eastern Europe on like a university desk phone using like the long distance codes. Right. That's student athlete number two, which, by the way, full disclosure, at Syracuse, we knew someone's long distance code. We made long distance calls to our families.
Yeah, we all kind
from the student radio station back in the 90s. It got billed to some other department.
Yeah, we all kind of
sorry,
did
I did
stuff
it.
Like
yep.
that.
Didn't have a cell
bit.
Phone. That's how we called home. Yep.
You know? But yeah, what you said kind of hit the nail on the head. It's always going to affect the kids who probably definitely had nothing to do with whatever the school was getting kind of knocked for. And yet these are the kids who have to pay for, you know, the sins of the people that came before them. And that never really sat right with me, to be honest
with you. It never is fair. They're the ones who pay the price. And they're the ones who, TJ, when they go to the combine, are going to get asked, hey, so you had a sack there, right?
Did you know
yep. It was a boot? He was coming back to your side? You didn't get tricked. You went straight up field.
Well, yeah.
You walked right into it, didn't you?
I knew because somebody scouted it and we saw it, so we knew.
Right. Proper answer. Right. Hey, J.J. McCarthy, did you know where the blitz was coming from? So you ripped that ball up the seam right there? Right? Did you guys cheat? No, I read the defense. Okay. He probably did. But those are the questions those kids are going to ask. Okay. Oh. Trying to get Charles back. We're going to get him back here coming up shortly. And what he was referring to was that there's a story that came out last night that says that one Big Ten coach has, let's get Charles back here. Charles, thanks for taking the time to rejoin us here and just fill into the blanks for what you were saying before. The story came out last night that a coach from somewhere else in the Big Ten sent to the conference and it sent to Michigan last year, hey, we know that somebody has stolen your signs and that's getting passed around so that someone's trying to do it to you. So to your point, okay, well, we haven't seen enough proof that they did it. I don't know that Jim did it, but the fact is other people are doing other things as well.
Yeah, on some level, everyone is doing it. I mean, I remember hearing, and this is not, you know, someone stealing signs, but when you talk about Colorado, when they played Oregon, you know, earlier this year, and Deion came out and said he heard of other coaches that were sending Oregon, you know, information on their team. So on some level, all of that stuff is going on. My stance was I just don't believe that Jim went through those lengths to do it. Now, if, you know, the Connor guy was out there doing that, on some level and maybe talking to another person on the staff. I don't know that. I just don't believe Jim knew that.
What's the craziest sign stealing story you have from the NFL? Anything?
Yeah. Only Spygate. I mean, that's the most obvious one from everyone that though they were, you know, spying on the practice or whatnot, but, or like I said, on some level, you know, we would always try to watch the TV copy, you know, as a defense, trying to see if we can hear something that the other team was saying when we can marry it up with a sign. So, look, everyone is trying to get that edge. Sure. Can you go too far if you're planting cameras or something like that? Sure. But everybody's trying to get the edge on the other team.
What's the best part about being a winemaker?
Man, I think for me, it's you know, the feedback that I get from, you know, people who love wine and people who try my product. I think it's the, you know, the reaction, you know, that I'll get from someone who, you know, doesn't know that it's my name on the label and they're just trying it. And then all of a sudden figuring out that it's my wine and saying, man, this is excellent wine. So for them to enjoy it without knowing it's mine, that's the best part about being in this business.
I was telling the guys before he came on, go back to the Minneapolis Super Bowl. Minneapolis, I think. Yeah. Got a bottle of your wine, Intercept wine, and I had it, and I tasted it before, like maybe the night before. Then I got my hands on the bottle, and I'm like, all right, I got to take this home. Charles, I don't check bags. I refuse to check bags, right?
Yeah.
For those of us who travel a lot, you're like, there's no way I'm wasting another half hour and checking my bag. Like, I checked the bag. Your wine was that good, man. Like, I put it in my bag, and I put it under the plane. I got to take it home.
I like that. That's the stamp of approval, man. I love that.
Bam. And now
That's the best part of the business right there is hearing stories like that.
And final thought. Now you're making bourbon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, making bourbon. It's called Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. And for anyone who would, you know, like to check out our website, go to woodsonwhiskey.com. But myself and my partners, we started this business about 3 years ago. It's a Kentucky bourbon. Coming out of Owensboro, Kentucky. And so we've been doing that for a while. We just became the official bourbon of the Las Vegas Raiders. So if you attend the game there, we got a great branded bar there in the stadium. And check us out next time you're in the stadium or any of the bars there, man. Order Wits and Whiskey, man, and you know, give me a shout. Tag me. Let me know what you think.
Go take a shot after the Raiders beat the Jets coming up on Sunday. Charles, I lied. One more thing. Special guest just walked into the studio, and she's in front of a microphone. Amy?
I saw you on the monitor, Charles Woodson. This is Amy Trask, and I wrote them a note saying, tell Charles Woodson I love him. Not in a weird or creepy way. And they said, say hi to Charles yourself. So as I hear you discuss your bourbon, I just want to let Andrew know that Intercept Wine, Charles Woodson's Intercept Wine, is the official wine of the Trask household.
Oh, there you go.
And I will also admit to you that which Charles continues to tease me about, it took me months to realize why he named it Intercept
Wine. Oh, come
wine.
On.
See,
really?
It really did. And I was on the sideline for all his magnificent Raider interceptions. And I really do love you,
That's
Charles.
Right.
And now I'll butt out
of
the show.
I love you back. I love you back, man. Hey, Amy's been great to us, man. She makes sure that everyone knows about Intercept Wine. She posts the greatest pictures of our wine next to her backdrop. She's got the ocean in the background, and man, she's giving me great pub for Intercept. So I may have to hire Amy. I don't know.
And every time I go into a store where they sell wine, I'll say really loudly, do you carry Intercept wine? And if they say no, I get all huffy and puffy. And if they do, I make sure everyone in the store, I run around with it and show it to everybody.
All right, well, now we're going to get you to drink.
I got you. Wow. Charles, you had our back when you were with the team. I got your back forever.
Man, I love that. Thank you. And I always have your back. Always got the Raiders back. That was a great win for us the other night, Amy, and I'm hoping they keep it up as well as I know you do, too.
Yep.
Charles, we appreciate you getting back on here. You're a good dad. Waiting for the car pickup there. Good luck.
Sir.
Good luck this Sunday. Good luck with the wine and the bourbon. And everyone, watch on MGM Plus NFL Icons with Charles Woodson, voiced by Rich Eisen, coming up on Saturday. Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Richard said hello.
Coming up next, the world's most interesting former offensive lineman, Brian Baldinger, waiting in the wings. Straight ahead, you're watching The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash. And now DoorDash is made even better with DashPass. DashPass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life because DashPass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. DashPass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for Dash Pass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a Dash Pass member today.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Larry David, you are now the new commissioner of the National Football
League.
Really? Yes, congratulations.
Are you kidding?
There you go. Congratulations.
This is a dream, okay? I quit Curb Your Enthusiasm in a second if this is true.
Okay.
Okay.
So what do you do first as the commissioner of the National Football League, Larry David?
Number one, and I really don't care if people like it or not, I'm losing the goalpost.
What?
Why are there goalposts?
Okay.
Why are kickers, they don't have football skills. They're not football players. I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they're not football players. Why are they kicking a ball through goalposts to decide games? It doesn't make any sense at all. It's a, first of all, goalposts are a relic from the old English rugby, I think.
Okay.
You know, when they used to actually run and kick a ball through goalposts. But they don't do that in the NFL. There's no need for goalposts. What? Wouldn't the game be better without them? Think about it. Why not just have leaping frogs to decide games? Have a, see, if a, yes, see if a frog can leap through a little goalpost that you set up, okay, on the floor. And if the frog can leap through the goalpost, then do that. What? Why kick it through a goalpost?
Well, it's not called leaping frog ball. It's called football. Yes, so you're saying take the feet out of footballs? Is that what you're saying, Larry? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Why? Feet are deciding games, and they shouldn't. Why should one player, one player with this skill, like the guy on the Ravens,
Justin Tucker, yeah.
Why should this one player who does nothing but kick a ball be deciding games when you have 52 other players who are actually playing, and this one person, this 53rd person, is deciding games? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Tuesday here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. I'm Andrew Siciliano. This desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. We have breaking news just handed me on the High Speed News Wire. Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Carson Wentz is signing with the Rams.
How about that?
Carson Wentz is signing with the Rams.
We literally just talked about him last hour.
And how the Giants wouldn't sign him because wouldn't you rather pick top five?
Yes.
Brian Baldinger is the world's most interesting former offensive lineman. He is also a Philly guy, if you will, my colleague at NFL Network, and he joins us now on the Rich Eisen Show. Baldy, Carson Wentz to the Rams.
There's so many ironies that hit me. 2016, the Rams trade up, get the number one pick. They take Goff over Carson Wentz. Eagles trade up twice to get to the number two pick. There was a lot of close-to-the-vest conversations. Who was going one, Wentz or Goff? Goff. And Carson Wentz is going to see Jared Goff this week as the Lions come to Los Angeles. Carson Wentz got hurt in 2017 on his way to an MVP season at the Coliseum against the Rams. And I'm sure Sean McVay is saying, well, we brought Baker Mayfield in last year. He was a first-round pick. He won a game for us. Like, maybe I can reconstitute Carson Wentz to 2017 form. Maybe he's not all the way broken. Maybe there's something of a reclamation project here.
I just have to catch my breath.
Let
me step back for a second. So, Matthew Stafford didn't play this past Sunday. The Rams were awful. There's no other way to say it. Offensively with Brent Rippon, they were just bad. Right. They just needed one or two plays in Green Bay. They didn't get them, and they lost. The sentiment from Sean McVay yesterday on the podium. And then on his coach's show, which he does every Monday night with the voice of the Rams, good friend J.B. Long and good friend DeMarco Farr, was very positive. Rams are in a bye this week. Very positive that Matthew could come back next week after the bye. Now, nothing set in stone, but that, yeah, kind of feel good about it. This leads me to ask, has there been a setback? Have they reevaluated Matthew's thumb and went, nah? Maybe he needs surgery now? Did something happen? Because if you think Stafford's going to be okay, you don't necessarily need Carson Wentz. Or maybe you say, to heck with it, to heck with it. We think we could put together a wild card run here, and we're not comfortable now that we've seen Brett Rippon in Green Bay. We need a legitimate backup. I don't know.
Well, I think you need a legitimate backup. You know, we saw backups last week, Cleet and Toon. I mean, we saw support performances around the league from backup quarterbacks. But, you know, the New York Giants, like, what are they – like, he's got to be better than Tommy DeVito. You know, I mean, just look at the backups that are playing. But I just believe philosophically, Andrew, in collecting quarterbacks. Like sometimes, look, when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, nobody knew how it was going to rankle Carson Wentz the way it did. And things went south in a hurry. But things didn't work out in Indianapolis, Washington for it either. But it's not like he's not a talented player. I've had general managers that drafted him in the personnel department of Philadelphia saying that he was a human cyborg. Like, physically, you just don't see people like that. I think fundamentally he's very poor and needs a lot of work. But I don't see any harm in bringing him in. Matt Stafford's not going to be threatened by Carson Wentz. He's just not at this stage in his career. But why not just take a look and see what's there? And, you know, maybe he can't digest a playbook, or he can't play with proper fundamentals. And you've got nothing to lose at this point.
It's fascinating. Our friend Tom Pelissero, you were just on with him on NFL Network, says that, yeah, like what I said, Stafford, they're still hoping is back next week, and that this is Carson Wentz as the backup behind Matthew Stafford. As you said, Baldy, collect quarterbacks, hopefully make a run for the postseason here. It was a heartbreaking loss to the Steelers a couple of weeks ago when Kenny Pickett only needed 9 yards for a first down. Clearly didn't get it. And then this past Sunday when they lost in Green Bay, where they had no offense, bad weather game, the whole thing was just bad. Well, Carson Wentz now, the number two. Baldy, also, speaking of bad, not to pile on, but you heard Troy Aikman in the fourth quarter, really the first quarter as well, how just unwatchable the Jets were last night. But he made the point, Troy did, Baldy, at the end of the game, that even if Aaron Rodgers miraculously came back in December, this isn't a good team. He said it's a bad team with a good defense. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I mean, look, they can't put an offense line together, Andrew. You know, last night, Zach Wilson dropped back 57 times. You know, he sacked 8 of them, lost a couple fumbles. I mean, it was just ugly. We see that around the league, though. You know, good defense is just, you know, sacking bad offenses, and it becomes unwatchable. I saw Baltimore do it to Seattle last week. I saw Cleveland do it to Arizona this week. I mean, we've all watched these games. You know, the Giants just unwatchable when – So, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers was in that lineup last night, I'm sure they would have played better. But if Joey Bosa is beating a right tackle the way he was beating the right tackle last night, Aaron Rodgers isn't going away from anybody, whether he comes back from this injury or not. He's not getting away from the rush that was sieging or sacking, you know, Zach Wilson last night. They got to get a lot better up front, and I don't know that they have the people to do it, Andrew. They just can't keep anybody healthy. It was a bizarre switch of taking Max Mitchell, the right tackle, and put him at right guard. Never played there before. Joe Tippmann made his first start at center. You know, you got your right, Billy Turner in the right tackle who struggled. I mean, they can't get 5 healthy offensive linemen on that group right now. And so, yeah, you'd love to run Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook in some combination, but it's hard to run it when it's 3rd and 7.
Baldy, how demoralizing is it to a locker room when your defense holds the quarterback, the other quarterback, and not just any quarterback, Justin Herbert, to 136 yards, you hold them under 200 total yards of offense, and you lose, but not only do you lose, the game's not close.
Yeah. It's demoralizing. And I know guys in that defense, you know, pretty good. And look, they're 4-4, so they're not out of it. You know, they can make a run. But, you know, a lot of those guys, not, you know, say Quinnen Williams, all he's done as a Jet, even though he got a $100 million contract, all he's done is lose. Like, you know, in New York, that's all he's experienced. And so they lose the final 6 games last year. They lose a game at home. It's just horrible. You know, you don't have – like, you're just playing your best, playing your guts out. But C.J. Mosley, Quinnen Williams, like some of these guys, that's all they've experienced since they've been in New York. And it is demoralizing. And you wonder – if they wonder, can this thing get better? Because they go against that offense line every day, and they understand the weaknesses and the inexperience and lack of cohesiveness. And so they've got some star players, but they can't really get the ball to them.
Talking to a friend of the program, our good friend here, Brian Baldinger. I want to go back to Sunday, Baldy, if we can. I mentioned Philly guy here. You know, what we saw Sunday night is seemingly like every end of game situation for the Cowboys. The Eagles find a way to do the right things at the end of games. The Cowboys do not find a way to do the right things at the end of games. How do you teach a team how to do things at the end of the game I know that sounds so childish the way I said it, but it's the same movie every time, I guess, is what I'm getting to.
Yeah, but it never comes down to the final play or the final drive, Andrew. Like, you know, fourth and one, you've got to score in this league. The Eagles have found a way to score in fourth and one. Like, everybody knows what the play is. It's never it's never a secret. The Cowboys are fourth and one at the one, and they come away with nothing. So I agree with Mike, go for the touchdown. They run a mirrored routes down at the bottom. They execute the route perfectly against man coverage. Up at the top, they don't. And so it still comes down to the details and detailing your business. Like, it was a poor pick by Jake Ferguson to get Schoonover free. Now, you know, you could have gone to the other side and Brandon Cooks would have walked into the end zone wide open. But, you know, look, the quarterback's got to make a decision pre-snap where to go with the ball. He went to the up top and they didn't execute the play properly. But they have struggled in the red zone all year, Andrew. The Eagles did two for a while and then they figured it out and they're playing much better. They were 3 for 3 in the red zone last week. They designed better plays than the Cowboys do in the red zone. Maybe the Cowboys should copy some of the Eagles' plays because they're really creative. They're different, but they work. And the Cowboys have, you know, they're at 29th in the league in red zone offense right now. It's hampering the way that they go up and down the field. And to see CeeDee have that game that he have and Ferguson have the game that he have and not be able to finish those drives is limiting right now.
So they miss Kellen Moore.
Well, either that or Zeke Elliott. You know, I mean, Zeke was a finisher. You know, fourth and one, there was only one guy over the last 7 years that was going to get the ball. That was Zeke. You know, they don't, I don't know that they have, I don't know that Pollard or anybody they have is that kind of a back right now.
Baldy, you are doing Browns Ravens coming up Sunday on the radio, heading to Baltimore. Brockman over here, you remember Chris Brockman? Brockman over here had the, what is it, Ravens are the best team in the NFL overreaction question yesterday.
Ravens, best team in the NFL.
Baldy, are the Baltimore Ravens the best team in the NFL?
Maybe I'm going to answer that, Andrew, but maybe I'm going to make another statement that I almost believe in after watching Baltimore last week, that maybe the NFC is just a bunch of frauds.
The NFC.
And every time they go up against an elite AFC defense, they just crumble, whether it's San Francisco or Seattle or Detroit. Like, they see these defenses that are just powerfully built. The Ravens lead the league in sacks, giving up the fewest points. They've got 4 of their 9 games this year, Andrew. They haven't given up a touchdown. They make Seattle look like they're a bottom feeder in this business. I don't know that Baltimore has a weakness right now. And Lamar is having a lot of fun. And they still haven't completely figured things out offensively. They still are not hitting deep balls like the way you'd like to hit that you got to do in big games. But other than that, it's hard to find a weakness on that football team right now.
When you say the NFC, they're all a bunch of frauds. Do you mean the Eagles as well, or do you mean beyond the Eagles?
Well, I mean, look, the Eagles lost to the Jets. You know, they turned it over 4 times against an elite defense.
Good point.
You know, I mean, so they'll see Kansas City a week from Monday night here, Andrew. And we'll get a better test. I know the Eagles felt like as soon as they walked off that field in Arizona last year that they owed Kansas City one. Like, it's a little late to pay back a Super Bowl, but, like, that's how they feel about it. But we'll find out because Kansas City is one of those elite defenses. Miami just saw it this weekend. They're as good as anybody because they can play every style of defense you want, and they've got a proven coordinator that knows how to win big games. So that'll be a great test for Philadelphia, and we'll find out a little bit more about that fraud statement.
I mean, look at the Bengals, 4-0 against the NFC West. They beat the Niners in Santa Clara. They beat the Seahawks in Cincinnati when the Seahawks were absolutely worthless in the red zone. All they needed was to punch it in once at the end of the second quarter, end of the fourth quarter, and they couldn't do it. As a Browns fan, Baldy, you know I am. It makes me even more frustrated that the Browns couldn't convert the 3rd and 3, 4th and 3, whatever it was in Seattle, because they had that game won. They couldn't tackle in the first quarter, couldn't tackle in the fourth quarter, but with P.J. Walker, should have stolen one there in Seattle. Alas, they did not. But
they put the Seahawks offense asleep for the better part of 3 quarters in that game.
Totally.
Outside the first 2 scores, I mean, they just shut him down. They couldn't do anything.
And Geno's, look, I love Geno, but 4 straight games, was it 5 straight games with multiple turnovers? So obviously they got to find something here. Baldy, I joke before. I always joke. You know this. I always introduce you by saying you are the world's most interesting offensive lineman. And I tell people, obviously, check out your Instagram. You're like the world traveler, the international traveler. I like to do it a little bit as well. And I've made the joke that, like, if I say to you, hey, Baldy, I'm going here in the offseason, that there's no place that I can name that you haven't been. And not only have you been there, like, you know everybody there. You're telling me where to go and where to eat and who to ask for and what to do. Where should I go this offseason, Baldy?
Well, I was just going to say, if we were in Frankfurt right now, getting ready for this big matchup between India and New England, I would take you to the Steiner House.
Okay.
The hot stone, right? Where they give you a hot stone and you cook your meat or your fish or your shrimp on the stone. Like, you're the chef, you know, and then they have all the trimmings and all the big steins and all that kind of stuff. But that's where I would have every meal in Frankfurt.
Okay.
Right there.
Rich is in Berlin today. He took a side trip during the week. Where should Rich go in Berlin tonight? We'll send this along. Any idea?
Vandenberg's Gate. You know, you got to go see the gate.
Yeah, he did that already. Like, you got a restaurant, a bar, an underground East German disco.
The disco era never ended in Berlin. It's the only city in the world. I'm curious about this. I think they built a new airport in Berlin. But the last time I was there, I was flying to Majorca out of Berlin. And I remember, this is not that long ago, Andy, but it's a big German destination, Majorca.
Yes.
Okay, they love to go to Palma. But
they also love Ibiza.
The plane Air Berlin still had a smoking section. And the smoking section was on the other side of the aisle that was non-smoking. So one side of the aisle was smoking. The other side of the aisle was non-smoking. Figure that one out.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I've been to the old Berlin airport, which doesn't feel much bigger than this room.
Yes.
Right, tiny. I went to Majorca a couple of years ago. I flew through Barcelona, which is a fantastic airport. It's like a 19-minute flight. Literally, like, you're up and down in 19 minutes. Something absurd. Like, Baldy, I'm convinced that if I told you I was going to the dark side of the moon this summer, you would know a bar.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd find a place there. There's something going on out there on the dark side that is always dark at some point during the day. and that's when it's open.
Baldy, we love you. We appreciate you juggling your schedule today. And
all right. My pleasure, buddy.
I miss you. Hopefully see you soon somewhere on the road.
Okay, bud. Yep. Talk to you, Andrew.
See Brian Baldinger, everybody. The world's most interesting former offense.
Absolute legend.
Lineman. Legend. Period. Seriously, 10 years ago, I'm like, Baldy, I'm doing Kilimanjaro. All right. So in Moshi, you got to go to like the third light. It's never working. It's past the grocery store. Okay. Turn left. And there's a great place to watch the World Cup. There's a bar.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
And it was.
Seriously, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally amazing, because he's that guy.
Yep.
He's truly amazing. All right, if you want tickets to a game, like maybe Baldy tells you where to go, you should use Game Time. It cures all your frustrating ticket buying experiences, okay? Download the Game Time app, browse through it, check it out. It's a game, it's a show, it's a concert, whatever it is you want to go to. Game Time is the place to find your tickets to that game or show or concert, and the best part about it, we have a promo code for you. Rich, R-I-C-H, Rich, $20 off your very first purchase. Restrictions apply, obviously. Visit gametime.co for terms. All you got to do is download the Game Time app, open up an account, and put in R-I-C-H for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Coming down the stretch. Final thoughts on the Rich Eisen Show.
Half redneck, half posh. 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
When I said I wanted to bring a guest on, I'm like, well, I want to bring on who I wanted to be when I was a kid. And that was an offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've been fortunate enough to get to know Mitchell and know what a good guy he is and what a great player he is. So I wanted to share this moment with the right tackle for the Chiefs, my favorite football team. Not that I need to tell anybody that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I got to know him, I guess, at the end of last year, and we hit it off right away. We both like food. We have a lot of shared interests. He asked me where I got my meat, and we go to the same meat guy.
He goes to the same butcher here in Kansas City. I said, serious question, though, Mitch, where do you buy your meat in Kansas City? He's like, oh, this place called Bicklemeyer's. And I'm like, okay, you're in. You're good.
So, because I know how seriously you take your Kansas City food.
Yeah.
You guys go to the same butcher here.
We do, yeah.
In the city.
Yeah. Which so, is... I mean, when I got here, I like to cook. I was confined to an apartment in my previous life, and I got here, I got a house, got a whole backyard set up. I mean, this guy's got the greatest backyard setup you could ever imagine for cooking, and he's sending me videos all the time, different stuff to try. And
The text exchange between me and him and some of his other offensive linemen that are into smoking is hilarious. Like, one night I put a brisket on, and it was like we were kind of coordinating with the time difference of putting a brisket on around the same time. And I woke up to check my brisket and texted Mitch at 4 in the morning LA time, which was Kansas City 6 a.m. time. And I told Lindsay, my girlfriend, I'm like, I texted Mitchell Schwartz in the middle of the night about a brisket. Like, what
and
is
I
going
responded.
On?
And he responded. For whatever reason, I was up at that exact time. And we were, because I was doing a brisket the next night. So we kind of throw ideas off each other, see what we do. I think he was doing like a 24-hour,
oh, yeah,
super slow, got all jiggly and gooey, and the bark was perfect.
Down the stretch we come on the Rich Eisen Show here. How we doing, everybody?
Doing great.
Aaron Rodgers. Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't let you answer. Go ahead, please. I do that all the time. Are you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. But I have to work on that. Sometimes I ask a question like, how are you doing? And then I don't wait to answer because I do care.
You don't care, that's
what you're no, I do care.
Just doing the thing.
But that is a pet peeve of mine. Where somebody asks me and then I try to give an answer and then you realize they're already on to their next thing. It was just a formality.
Yeah.
It's annoying as all hell.
Aaron right now?
What I was about to tell you, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic, just tweeted, Aaron Rodgers is speaking, I believe, on that other show, asked if the Jets' record will factor into a potential comeback. Quote, I have a lot of faith in our guys, and I feel like we're going to be in the mix for sure. That is a very small part of the thought process. Obviously, we've got to be in the mix. There's no doubt about that. Said it's more the rehab and the recovery than the record. Okay.
Stay tuned.
Also on the Rams, their stunning signing of Carson Wentz within this last hour, if you're just joining us. I guess in retrospect, when you step back, it really shouldn't be stunning.
You were blown away.
The former second overall pick, a quarterback, is out there. I mean, teams need quarterbacks, right? There is just this idea that Carson Wentz, nobody wants it because it went so poorly last year in Washington. It went so poorly in December 2 years ago for Indianapolis. People just thought, forget about it. Forget about it. Matthew Stafford is... thought to be ready to be back next week. That was a little wordy. They think Matthew Stafford's going to play next week. Nothing has changed from what I am told. Sean McVay said last night, which is they're optimistic, and he was being sincere, optimistic that he will be back. Matthew Stafford will be next week after the bye. Carson Wentz is going to be the backup because they saw Brett Rippon last week, and that ain't it. All due respect to the nephew of the former Super Bowl MVP. So, wow. Okay, there's that. Wanted to get this thing in here as well. because I'm not here tomorrow. Susie's hosting the show tomorrow. And thank Susie for bringing donuts and RJ for bringing cookies.
Man,
what a sugary, awesome breakfast I had today. I am back on Friday, but I want to throw this in as well. I am a native Virginian. My brother and my sister-in-law went to James Madison University. So did greats like Charles Haley and Gary Clark, the former Washington wide receiver. James Madison is 9-0 and ranked number 21 in the nation. Yeah, James Madison, they are an FBS team now. After years of success at lower level football, they are now in their second year moving up to FBS. They're in the Sun Belt. They were really good last year behind Todd Senteo at quarterback. This year, they have they have a great defensive guy. I can't remember the kid's name. Leading the nation in sacks, just got hurt yesterday. He's out for the year. But anyway, I digress. They are not bowl eligible. They're not. But they have sent a packet, a stack of documents and documentation to the NCAA today to say, can we get in a bowl game? Please? As it stands, the only way they are eligible is if they're like a last second fill-in. Like all the bowl eligible teams take their spots and then someone decides because of scandal or because of COVID or whatever, they can't field the team. Then James Madison can get the tap and they could go. I guarantee you they're going to say no, because that's what the NCAA does. This one is easy. All they have to do is say, we're following the rules. You cannot go. Because the rule is when you transition to FBS, you got to wait 2 years before you're bowl eligible. 2 years sitting out. There is absolutely no reason that JMU, the Dukes, Harrisonburg, Virginia, cannot and should not go to a bowl game. And not just because I'm sick of my brother's Saturday night text every week saying hashtag free JMU. That's not why. And congratulations again to Seth for running a 2:59.55 New York City Marathon this past Sunday. Free JMU, everybody. Who does it hurt other than a Power 5 school that needs a payday with right. your six wins? We're bowl eligible, but it's an embarrassment that we're taking your money to show up on December 19th to fill 3.5 hours on ESPN school. One of those schools, NCAA doesn't want to deny them their check, do you? Free JMU. Okay. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to Jason.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks to TJ. Thanks to Hoskins.
Quick Giants
move.
Thanks
to RJ, Sarah, Liz, Erica. What?
Giants are signing Jacob Eason to the practice squad.
Okay. There you go.
He should probably start.
To quote the old ESPN fantasy show or ad, championship. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm Andrew. So long, everybody. Susie's in here tomorrow. See you.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.